worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarrelling among you, are you not worldly? Are you acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each of us his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. It's really good to be here today, and I really thank Joanna for all the work and creativity she's put into the theme of planting for a harvest. And I thought she was a good person to lead on this theme, being, you know, her day job, and to see how beautiful those, I didn't even know the word, drills are of the seeds. Absolutely beautiful, all the work that goes into preparing the soil, but also that point at the end you were making about protection from the foxes and the cats and the birds and the frost. Let's hope we don't get any more frost. So I thought it'd be good just to spend some time thinking about this theme from the passage in Corinthians, and I've got quite a few thoughts that I've been mulling over and praying over this week as I've been preparing for today. And I'm going to split what I want to share into two. So there will be a break, and it'll give you a chance maybe to think through what I'm sharing, and let it sink in, see what God is saying through it. So I don't know about you. Lockdown 3, it has seemed to have been a very long winter, and it's fantastic, as Joanna said at the beginning, that we are seeing beautiful signs of spring now. But it has been a long winter of hibernation, and I think a lot of us have indulged ourselves, perhaps eating the wrong food. The stay-at-home message has meant for some of us a good excuse not to take too much regular exercise. Perhaps we've been binge-watching series on Netflix or Amazon or iPlayer. And there was a discussion at work this week about trash TV and escaping from things. And they were talking, and we were talking about this sort of cult of celebrity that is really such a big part of our culture. And we can see it in shows like, you know, I'm a Celebrity, Get Out of Here, Get Me Out of Here. We think about Celebrity Big Brother or Celebrity Wedding Planner, or those programs like Love Island and Made in Chelsea, where the participants become celebrities as the show unravels. And I think the celebrity culture has infiltrated our Christian culture at times. And that has been even more prevalent sort of as we've been locked away in lockdown for this last year. We've been able to find ways to tune in and hear our favourite speaker. We've been able to join a service where you can sort of slip in unnoticed. We've been able to enjoy and appreciate different worship being live streamed, and we can take our pick, can't we? I mean, today we've been singing and worshipping along with Matt Redman, with Chris Tomlin, but there's also people like Lou Fowlingham or Ruth's favourite, Jonathan Vieira. We can also think about the sermons that we want to listen to, and whether you agree with the preacher or not. You think, oh yeah, I usually like what they say. I think I like their jokes and stories. I'll listen to them. Without even thinking about what about the place, the context, the culture that person is ministering in. And so I've sort of been thinking about this because the the letter to 1 Corinthians that Paul writes, the first four chapters, he's really dealing with a lot of division that was seen, that was being experienced by the church. There were lots of divisions. And I'm not bringing this message to you because for the last 6 months that I've been with you that I've noticed any division. So that is not where I'm coming from. But the church in Corinth was suffering from problems around personality contests. They had their favourites and there were groupies forming around different leaders. And they were really experiencing that celebrity culture of who were you going to follow. And it's true, isn't it? There's nothing new under the sun. And even in the first century, there was an element of that sort of consumer culture in the church, a sort of pick and mix, take the teachings of one, ignore the aspects of others. And that's why we need to take responsibility for our own discipleship, to follow Jesus, not his human disciples, keeping our eyes on him, ensuring he's Lord, listening to his voice, reading his word, and being open to his leading. And that is a sign of maturity, isn't it? We don't want to be like babies drinking milk. We should have, many of us, been weaned years ago onto something more nutritious. So what does Paul say in this situation where people were following one celebrity rather than another? Well, I want to talk a bit about this theme of preparation. As I said, it's been a long winter lockdown, and I've tried to reframe it, as I have struggled through these early months of the year, to reframe it as not as being locked down or locked in, but rather a time for hibernation. And because that has been, for me, a bit more positive, because in hibernation, we prepare. It's what animals do when they hibernate. They gather the strength and they conserve the energy. And it's quite a productive time, even though no one sees it. So what I've done this year is I've been listening to the Bible. I've found the Bible Project has a really good reading scheme. And what I've liked about it is that they intersperse it with short videos, which give overviews of the books that are being covered. And what I've done this year, because my life involves far too much screen time, because I work on a screen, I go to college on a screen, and of course we worship together as church on a screen. So I thought, I really don't want, my eyes are tired. My eyes are very tired. So what I've been doing is listening to the Bible. And if anyone fancies that, because they rather listen than read, particularly good if you struggle with reading and English, I can really recommend the YouVersion app. And I'm listening to the Bible being read by David Suchet. It's a rather nice voice to listen to. So through this time of winter, there's been preparation. And of course, this will continue through the spring and summer. I'm not going to read the Bible just in the winter and listen to it. But it's been really helpful. And as a community together, we've got a chance to prepare, to reset, to reboot as we prepare for the unlocking of this lockdown. We don't want to go backwards, do we? Individually or as a church. We don't want to buy into the news that we're all going to struggle in soul, mind, strength and spirit. No, because we have God's help with us. We want to be useful as we come through this time of lockdown and be prepared for whatever the future holds for us. So in the passage we had that Teresa read, you will have noticed there were two names mentioned, the groupie leaders, as you may say. We had Paul, who was the planter, and Apollos, who was the waterer. And I think it's really important to notice that the words that are used in the Greek here are both sort of unskilled labourers. These were not jobs in the first century that needed qualifications or education or intellect or long training with a rabbi. These were manual everyday jobs. And likewise for us, these are jobs that we can do, planting and watering. And of course, Paul is just using this as a picture, as an analogy. He wasn't talking just about planting crops. He was talking about planting and watering seeds of the gospel, the good news that Jesus is and that Jesus brings. And notice in this passage that both jobs were of equal worth in the kingdom. How often is that not seen in 21st century Christian circles? Let that sink in for a minute. The job you're given, whether it be planting or watering or both, doesn't matter, are of the same importance to the Lord. And this type of metaphor was of sowing and harvesting, of reaping and sowing, was one that Jesus used a lot in his teaching as well. And whichever way you look, whether it was Jesus speaking or Paul writing, the result was growth, the result was harvest. And we're in this time of preparation. One of the things that I've done, some of you know that I'm studying for the ministry at college, and one of the assignments I chose to write about last semester was about Zoom church and meeting together over a screen. And I was really intrigued by some of the research that's come out of Durham University. And one of their reports has been called Everyone Welcome Online. And one of the authors, Bob Jackson, has written recently of four things that we as a church should be thinking about as we prepare to come out of lockdown, as we prepare for post-COVID church. And he says and suggests that churches look about having wider doors, because we've opened a new doorway linking churches and homes. And how can we maintain and widen our doors of welcome, whether we meet online or off it? He also talks about deeper wells. The times are more serious. People have been seeking God and deeper spirituality. And how can we, as a community of God's people, offer spiritual depth and encounter with the living Jesus? There's little point in welcome if there's no well for the newly thirsty to drink from. And of course, again, it's a metaphor, isn't it? A well. It's not necessarily talking about water, but just that picture that Jesus says when he says, I am the water of life and I can take away your thirst. Also, Bob Jackson says about us thinking about having wiser programs. How can we continue to reach more people through a program which is in person and online? Can we take the chance to review our church programs and only start and restart those that have open doors and that dig the wells deeper, so that we're not frantic but focused? And also, he says, we should look at our structures. Do we need to review our leadership and organisational structure to support the church of the future rather than the church of the past? And I wonder there if he's thinking about other denominations, because I'm not aware in Merston, but certainly that we've got lots of structures to think about. But you can see where I'm coming from. We need to plant for a harvest. We need to be preparing this ground, preparing ourselves, preparing our church for what God is wanting to bring in as we come through lockdown. Let's take a break there, and then I'll come back with part two. To, you know, bring our donation for the food bank. My heart was singing because there were people outside doing the garden with Jane and people coming and going. I heard about, you know, the very generous donations from Sutton Gardens, and just that sense of hallelujah, God is at work. He really is at work. and he is planting. I believe the Spirit of God is active in Merstham. People have compassion. We see that. They're made in God's image, but they don't yet know how precious they are in his eyes. And they don't yet know that he wants them to know him. So it was really good to see at the beginning of the service, Joanna's beautiful soil, all prepared with the right nutrients and fertilizer and everything else. And one of the questions I understand, and I'm not very good at these things, but people ask in rural areas in particular, what's the soil doing? And there was this lovely story I heard this week where he was a vicar actually, and he moved into his new parish. And he went, it was in a rural area where the person before him had really spent a lot of time tending the vicarage garden, and it was immaculate. And this new vicar came and thought, gosh, you know, I've got to keep up what's been left behind and I need to look after this. And he saw this vegetable patch and he thought, okay, right, I need to be sowing like we saw Joanna earlier. She was sowing spinach and rocket and whatever. And he thought, I'm going to do lettuce. And he was very careful and he got it all sorted and he started watching this lettuce grow. But he was really perturbed when he saw what was coming out of the ground actually didn't look anything like lettuce. And what had happened was that the vicar before him had planted potatoes in the soil, and it was potato crop that was growing. And it's a beautiful picture to think, actually, God is at work. He has already planted some seeds, and it's our job to water and look after it growing. So it's worth asking the question, isn't it, when we're meeting with people, what is God already doing in that person's life? What seeds have been planted, and what role are we to play in bringing them to fruition and helping them on their journey towards faith? It's so important, isn't it, that we don't just talk about our faith or just do physical things about our faith in social action. We need to do both. We need to be able to talk and be active. It's not either or, but it's both and. And I've really been thinking about this theme of deeper wells, because it very much resonates, I think, with what the future could be for us as Christians. I was hearing a story of, it was one of someone that used to be in the military, and he had to be on their compound in a sort of lockdown for a year for the safety of the troops, because there was a lot of landmines and danger outside the compounds. So they had to do everything, unless they're out on exercise, but on the compound. And he said, you know, that time was really hard for everyone, but they got through it. And it's a bit like now, we are getting through lockdown. But what happened after, in this military context, was as people came out of it, they recognized how the toll that had had on them. And they had definite signs of trauma and stress and disorder coming out of it. And I think part of our preparation and our planting and us being ready is to help others as we come through this really difficult time of being locked in our homes, to be available to others to help them as they process what's gone on in their life. I've really been struck by that in my street here in, I just live on the edge of Merstham and Redhill, because I've now been working from home for a year and I watch out the window, people coming and going. And there's quite a few people that ordinarily would have been commuting to other places, but they've been here. And I see the stress. And we have conversations in the street, but some people have been carrying a lot of burden either in their own families or in their work situations that are difficult, etc. So what I've been praying about, and I'm going to share it with you now, because you can then hold me to account and see if I do it. What I'm going to do is put a note through my neighbour's doors. We've got a WhatsApp group in our street since the beginning of lockdown. I'm going to put a note through the doors of everyone and invite them to Tuesday tea at 21. So there's lots of teas there. I've been thinking about how am I going to do it. It's a little card that's going to go through the door, Tuesday tea at 21. And that's the number of our house, 21. So I thought people know exactly where to come. And when after Easter, we're allowed to have six people outside, I'm going to be on the front of our, it's a driveway, I'm going to be on our front driveway with a cup of tea. And people can either have a cup of tea from my kitchen, or if they feel that's unsafe, bring their own cup of tea. And just see if people will take a tea break and sit with me in the driveway and just be available. So I thought that is possibly, and it's an experiment, isn't it? And it might not work at all. But I thought it's a way of providing a place for people to come and chat. And for me, more importantly, to listen and to provide that deeper well. And I think as well, you know, we've got this amazing chance at Merston gradually in the next couple of years to have a place that is welcoming where the church site is, that could provide that deeper well for people that want to talk, and for us to be that listening post and then that signpost to help as we plant the seeds of the gospel. I really pray that this thought of, you know, PTSD, et cetera, for people coming out of lockdown doesn't realize itself in our community. But I think we need to be ready to be used by God to help people recover from this last year. So I'm wrapping up now, you'll be pleased to know. There's what I love about this passage is that it's not one person doing everything. People have different roles and do different things. And Joanna was so carefully showing us the tilling, the planting, the weeding, the fertilizing, I guess the pruning, the irrigating. There's different roles to play. And every part is as important as the other. And I think we have to realize as well that growth may be seasonal. It doesn't always happen. And I guess this is for me. I'm very impatient. I wouldn't be a very good farmer, but we have to be patient. We have to trust. And we have to wait and see, because patience is important. And I love these verses speaking to this from James chapter 5. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm. So I want to finish with two very important and very obvious points, but I want this to be ringing in your ears as you go through the rest of your day. It's an obvious but very fundamental point. In verse 6, only God gives the growth. Doesn't that take the pressure off us? God does the growing. It's not you and me. We play our part, but it's his work, it's his mission, it's his kingdom that's coming, not ours. And the second important point, really important, we don't know when the Lord is coming back. We don't know when his promise will be fulfilled and he will make all things new. But in the meantime, we are to be faithful servants. And in verse 9, what does it say? It says we are to work together for God's glory. And we are in this together. We're not on our own. So there we have it. My thoughts for today from this passage. And my prayer is that it's an encouragement for us all to keep going with our planting, keep going with that preparation, be available for folk as we come through this time of lockdown. May God bless you this week.
Thank you so much, Mari. I don't know about you, but I've got loads of things going around in my head. So